from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Javi drills it. Deep left field. A Rosarena at the wall. Javi Baez gives the Tigers the lead out of nowhere.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, drive out to right center field. This might do it. It will do it. Weston Wilson is going to get to second. He's got the cycle.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
How awesome is that?
Weston Wilson.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Oh. Castellanos sends one in the air to deep left field. He's going to go back to back. 4-0 Phillies.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, I'm good. All right, hold on. Hey, welcome in, everybody. Oh, we're off to a good start today. Hello. Hey, what's happening? Happy Friday, everybody. Seems like we're picking up right where we left off yesterday. Are we good?
Hey,
are we on
well,
the air?
You know what?
Are things working right now? Can you hear me?
You know what?
Hello.
It would help if I put on the right mic.
That usually helps.
Here's the problem.
If you have the
right
microphone is usually a key part of radio.
You know what, though? Normal people would blame you because when there's a host and a producer, normally you sit in the other chair.
That is true.
With the other mic on, which was
true.
The mic that I had on and up.
That is true. I don't
and
move.
So
I don't budge, Will Ortner. This
now,
is my
here's the
seat.
Thing. Normal people would blame you for that. I won't. I will accept full responsibility for you not moving to the proper chair. Because now I have to change the cameras.
I got to admit.
It's the whole thing.
I'm a little bummed right now because in the brief moment where I try and talk and nothing's going out over the air and I can't hear myself, I immediately think things are broken. You know what that means? You go home early weekend.
I'm not going to lie.
Things are broken. I gave it 30 seconds. The mics weren't working. That's it for me. All right. See you guys. Have a great weekend.
The best part is
see you on Monday.
You didn't pop on. I stared and was like, it's on.
I'm looking at the thing right now.
I'm looking at it.
I am looking
the mic
at it.
Is on and up. It's the same mic that I always turn on and up. Why isn't there words coming out of his mouth?
Oh, what a great start to a Friday. Yeah, I don't move seats when Sprague's out because we have this thing called Wide Orbit, which is how we play drops. You know, we got a little screen over here, and we got, you know, we can...
I had a full-body boner for 2 weeks.
That's the whole... You know, you got to have that. You got to have that availability. And people have been wanting to give me a radio award because I gave Sprague a pretty solid...
And spit on that
thing. The other day earlier this week, because he mentioned he had a night at home with his wife, which is very rare for them with two little kiddos running around. Nice. I'd say you guys probably had some fun. So I'm awaiting my radio award in the mail. It will be here eventually. But the reason I don't move chairs when Sprague is out is because I never took the time with our engineers to set up Wide Orbit for me on that computer. And so if I sit in the other chair, I don't have the ability to play drops, which you can't do radio.
No, you can't have that. Now, that being said... If I was better as a producer, I would have had the right microphone. Like I would have.
Well, I looked over and I'm like, "Why is that light red? The other microphone's red. Mine is definitely red too because I turned it on, yes. But nothing's working."
Well, but see, you have to do this thing where you pot
you gotta
them up.
Slide it up. You got to pot it up.
Yeah,
it's okay. We're off to a good start. It's a Friday. I'm feeling good.
We're mailing it in. At least I am.
Absolutely mailing it in today. It sounds like I missed quite an eventful Thursday on our radio program.
We got there. We figured it out.
Everybody survived. Yeah, I had no clue. I played in the Cleveland Alumni Golf Tournament yesterday, which was a great time. Usually don't play in it because they have a shotgun start at like 9 o'clock, and they've been begging me to do it for years. And I thought, whatever, I'll take a day this year and I'll go play. I'm going to show up and take the day off. So I had a grand time, but I left the show on Wednesday under the insinuation that Patrick Harris was going to fill in at host. And that evidently did not happen. He was sick, and he let you know at 10 o'clock on Wednesday night that he can't make it in. And somehow Jordan Schultz was able to receive the bat signal and make it in on time for yesterday's show. That's kind of miraculous that we actually found people. Because I believe when I told Schultzy I was going to be out on Thursday, he kind of gave me the impression I'm not available all week. And then bat signal late Wednesday night, he was available all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, I think he might have said I think he was supposed to be at the coast. Him and it's his wife's birthday.
Yes.
It sounds like they do like a birthday week.
They do like a
weekend
whole celebration thing.
So I think he was kind of supposed to be gone, but maybe he was able to like work around it because it's like early enough to where she won't even notice that he's gone. You ever have that?
That's true.
When you work this show.
Yeah, you're home at 9:30. It's like, hey, let's start the day.
You might not notice it. People might have no idea. Like I'm taking care of a dog right now.
Yeah.
According to his schedule.
Oh, he has no clue.
I don't even have to get him up till 9.
No.
Like, we're good.
He's just napping. You feed him when you get home, maybe feed him at night before, you're good to go.
I keep him up an extra hour. He goes to bed an hour later. I get there an hour later. He's up. Fine. No one notices. So maybe Schultz was doing the same thing that I'm doing with the dog I'm house-sitting.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. Well, I'm glad we made it. It sounds like we had some technical difficulties yesterday. I'm glad we made it through the show. Everybody survived. I'm sorry that I was looking forward to Patrick Harris having the chance to fill in and host because we have condemned him for many things on this program because he threw a horrible first pitch at the Pickles game, which we made fun of, and it deserved to be made fun of. And he's also flipped his baseball fandom multiple times. He went Cleveland to Seattle, back to Cleveland.
He's back on the Guardians?
He's back on the Guardians.
I don't think
issues with that. Like, you don't divorce, and then remarry your ex. Like,
I don't think you're allowed to divorce in a sports fandom unless a team comes to your city.
Exactly. I think you can maybe take some time apart. Like, we need to separate for a couple of months. I will allow that. But a full-on divorce and then new marry of a new fandom, you're moving too quick, buddy. That's not a good solution. And we made fun of him for that, and I was looking forward to him coming on the show and explaining himself to our wonderful listening audience, but that unfortunately did not happen. I did have a great time yesterday, and I have come to the conclusion, and you're a decent golfer, Will. Like, you play occasionally throughout the summer, right?
I'm a mid-90s, high-90s guy. Yeah.
Okay, you're a mid-90s. So you enjoy it. It's a day with the boys. You're outside having a couple of pops. It's a nice, fun Saturday. I've talked about this a lot on my golf podcast, but I feel like the most underutilized form of golf is the scramble with your buddies.
Yes.
Like, so many people, and myself is included in this, where if you're a serious golfer, you're so infatuated on what your score is and how you're playing. Like, I will legitimately at times, not anymore since Teddy Ballgame was born, but prior to having a kid, my mood almost depended on how my golf game looked. Like, if I played a bad round or I couldn't hit a 7-iron all of a sudden, like, Tuesday and Thursday, I'm going to be a little funky. I'm not going to be in the best of moods. And that's not a very healthy space to live in, Will. Okay, so there's your PSA for the morning. And this is where it's the one format where you get to have a great time. It brings in the team aspect of golf, which does not happen often. You don't play a lot of team. It's always you. It's your ball. You're competing against other people. And it eliminates a lot of the pressure. But when you hit a big shot, there's something about hitting a big shot and having three other people celebrate with you, as opposed to you hitting a big shot. You're celebrating because it looks great on your scorecard, and you get a hey, you know, you get a little high five, a little fist bump, nice birdie, nice eagle. But there's something about the team camaraderie that I feel like we need to integrate the scramble into more regular golf rounds. Like, you go play a Saturday round with your boys, swing's not feeling great. Why would I shoot a 98 on my own today when we can team up and shoot a 67? What do you think?
I'll tell you what, as someone who just likes to get up there and is like, I'll use driver on this.
I'm going to swing as hard as I can.
I love it because, look, if I get a hold of one, I could poke it out there. It's not the best drive swing of all time. Like, you've never seen someone hook the way that I can hook.
You got a good hooker?
It's very impressive.
Hooker from Will
Warner. I'm all the way on the left side of the tee box. Like, I'm straddling the, tee box markers, the white markers. And then I'm still aimed, like, at a 45 to the right, and I'm swinging hard. So let's just be honest that there's a couple shots around that aren't going to go my way when it comes to the driver.
Exactly. You're pretty dependent on a right-to-left shot hole shape. You need a dogleg left. Dogleg rights, you're absolutely screwed.
And I'm in trouble. But here's the thing. I don't golf enough. I don't practice enough to go up there with, well, I'm going to use my 7-iron here and place it exactly where I want to. I just want to swing hard.
Come on.
So let's get the boys together. We'll drink responsibly. And then we'll hit the ball hard. That's all I really want to do. If you have four guys up there, one shot's going to be good.
Likely,
and then everyone else can just go and swing hard. I'm down for that. I always have, like, in college, my brother and my old roommate, he's a really good golfer now. He's a pro up in Suncadia.
Hey, humble brag.
Right. Well, I know a golf pro.
You sick. Do? That's pretty badass, man.
I'm really cool. People are my friends. But we would always try and shoot under par. Like, we would play together, like, once or twice a week where we didn't play our own scores. We played together as a team, and we would try to shoot under par. And it happened a couple of times because he's a really good golfer. My brother is a pretty decent golfer. I think he's a 5 handicap.
Yeah.
And then I'm just vibes.
Sure.
Like, I had
you're just
beers.
Having a good time.
I brought
and
the
you're
40s.
Hitting a you're hitting a bomb or two here or there, right? You maybe launch a drive. You help the boys out. You get one down there in the fairway. Like, you're feeling good.
Right.
I'm contributing every once in, not a lot, but every once in a while.
Make one ridiculous putt.
Hey, Tyrese Halliburton got a gold medal at the Olympics.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Dude got a gold medal. He's gonna have that for the rest of his life. You have an under par round of golf under your belt, Will Ortner.
That's right.
We don't an impressive
have to,
thing.
We don't have to bring in that other people made most of the shots. I made like
matter.
One putt and one drive.
It doesn't
That's
matter.
Fine.
There is something truly enjoyable about having that freedom of knowing that this shot does not matter and that there's already a ball about 190 yards out in the middle of the fairway, and I'm going to swing as hard as I possibly can, and let's see how far this thing can go. It usually doesn't turn out well.
No.
You usually overswing and you overcook something, and it's not a great process, but the ones that you run into, oh, buddy, is it fun. And so we went 16 under yesterday. Gross. 16 under.
Oh.
And we did not win. The winning score was 19 under par.
Who was cheating?
You know, there are some allegations getting thrown out. Now, not cheating, but more so just an unfairly stacked team of single-digit handicaps, which is
really?
Like four guys in a gross format. You know, it's,
there are four guys who take
I got
the,
my eyes on them. I got my eyes on them for next year. You know, we might need to make some changes. We'll see. But I, you know, a little frustrated. 16, you told me yesterday we're going to go 16 under. That's not net. I think we were 22 under because we got a couple of strokes.
Right.
Gross 16 under. I will take that in a form. It made three eagles. We were dialed yesterday.
Yeah.
Absolutely dialed, but
Bet
came up
win.
Three short. Came up just short, Will. Came up just
Sounds
short.
Like you got sandbaggers over
feel
there.
Like we got a
Is that a Casey Dyer move?
Feel like it absolutely
Was Casey
could
Dyer
be.
A part of that crew?
He was not a part of that golf tournament, but it definitely could be.
I could see Casey Dyer sandbagging, being like, oh, I'm a 20 handicap going out there shooting a 72.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't know. I apologize.
Well, we're here. I'm back today. It's a Friday. We are on the air. It was almost like one of those substitute teacher things where you're sitting in a class classroom. It's like, how long am I going to give this? If they don't show up in 10 minutes, I'm done. I'm out of here. I was kind of hoping that was the case with the mics today, but we power through.
Don't worry, I found them.
Well, you did. You're just in time, Will, right when I was thinking I could go home. Robert Allen's going to join us coming up. Kind of a funky interview. He's going to join us at 7:40. It's the only time that he could go. For those of you familiar with the radio clock, that is like right in between two different segments. And so we're going to get creative. We'll figure out a way to kind of wedge that in at the back half of the second hour of the show. So that will be at 7:40. Oklahoma State is up next in the preseason Dirty Poll. And then at 8:30, we're going to double dip again on the Dirty Poll. We will go to Arizona and talk a little Arizona Wildcat football. So we got Arizona, we got Oklahoma State today. So we're double dipping on the Dirty Poll. They are number 16 and 15 in our preseason poll. So we're getting closer and closer to kickoff. We got some preseason stuff to react to last night. Saw a little bit more of Drake May. Let's start, though, with, of course, it happened when I was out. I knew this was coming. I was hoping it was going to happen on Tuesday. It didn't. We got tweets. Of course, the vacation news strikes again. We start there. Thanks for being with us on a Friday. Dirt and Sprague off and running on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, if you wonder where we're at in the news cycle of sports as we wrap up the summer and we are all eagerly awaiting the start of actual football season and not preseason football, I'm at home last night, kind of going through some things, looking through some notes. It's planning out the show. What are we going to get to today on a Friday? And I pull up the ESPN app on my phone. You know what the first video is that pops up? Like front page ESPN app. Boom. What's the first thing that shows up?
Little League World Series?
It is not the Little League World Series.
That's shocking. That's all ESPN showed you last
It was Tom Brady making shooting hockey pucks into a washing machine.
Hell yeah.
And I just thought, this is where we're at. Oh, this is
that
okay.
Rocks.
This is kind of shows me where we're at in the calendar. Look at Tom Brady, man. He's got a great right-handed swing with a hockey stick. That's where we're at right now. And so things are a little dry. And on Tuesday, I knew that there was news coming on the Portland Trailblazers that I was eagerly awaiting to talk about because it's something I've been asking for and calling for a very long time. And I was told that the news was going to break on Tuesday, which I thought this is perfect timing. Sprague's going to be out tomorrow, as in Wednesday. I got a solo show. It's great timing. I'm going to have this big, juicy topic to get to on Wednesday. I'm going to be able to dive in. It'll be like an hour of the show. It's going to be delightful. Well, then Tuesday went through, and the news did not break, and so the embargo still existed. I get off the air on Wednesday's show, and what do I see Wednesday evening as I'm eating dinner? I see, oh, look at that. The Blazers announced they're leaving Root Sports, which led many people on Twitter to tweet us and say, of course, this happens right when you go on vacation, because we were not here yesterday. So we get to do the delightful day-after reaction when we're here, even though we weren't here yesterday, to really a great sign for Blazer fans. This is something that I have been calling for a long time. I know the majority of the fans are in agreement. The Root Sports deal has been an absolute disaster for this organization. It has not gone well. The fans have been incredibly frustrated with their inability to watch their team. And I know that I have been about as pessimistic and negative on this organization as anybody out there. But at least I will acknowledge, like, when you start stacking wins, I will pat you on the back for it. And I feel like they're starting to do it this summer. It started in the draft, taking Donovan Klingon, 7th overall. Who knows how he's going to turn out as a regular NBA player, but at least on the surface, after watching him for a few games, you could say, all right, this guy's pretty good. We found a contributor, and at least that's something to be excited about as a fan, because his summer league went really well. And then this news added on top of it is, other than the news that Jody Allen is selling the team, which still unequivocally needs to happen and should happen, this is the only other news, at least in the short term, that I think would revitalize and wake up your fan base a little bit. You know, I have cautioned they are encroaching on a little bit of a dangerous territory here. You know, last year with their season ticket sales, a lot of those were sold before the Damian Lillard trade happened. And so many people at the time when they re-upped for last year's tickets did not realize, think, or even ponder the scenario in which Damian Lillard wasn't going to be around anymore. They ended up winning 21 games. He got traded. And their television ratings last year, partly because Root went to a higher sports package on Comcast, but their TV ratings dropped by 70% last year. That is a massive fall off. And the last thing that you want created in your market, and we're going to get to another team who might be going through this in the Northwest in the relatively near future, is an apathetic fan base. People who just don't, who are not invested, who do not care, and who say, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Whether you suck, you're good, you're fun, you're bad, it doesn't matter. You want people to at least have an opinion or an interest in watching you. And if the Blazers didn't do something this offseason, I genuinely feared where the fan base was going to go. You're always going to have your percentage of diehards. But I was genuinely fearful about how that looks in the next couple of years because there's no guarantee that there is a short-term solution to your tanking problems. And if you don't get Cooper Flagg or land one of these standout guys in the 2025 draft, if Donovan Klingon maybe doesn't pan out or Scoot struggles this year or Shaden doesn't have a pop year, like you're looking at three more years of a tank and fans can only go through so many 20-win seasons before they just officially give up. And so this was the exact news that was needed. Now, we just still don't know exactly where they're going. I think we can all kind of draw conclusions and have heard things, and things have been speculated about possible alternatives, including a direct-to-consumer option. But I was very happy to see the organization make the move that put the interest of the fans first, which is how do we make our games more accessible? Because people likely will not be spending crazy amount of money on tickets this year, and you need to keep your city and your fan base engaged. And this is at least, until we find out the solution, we're not fully there, but this was at least the first step. And it was a welcome sign of positive, happy news for the Blazers. And it feels like we have not had a lot of that over the last 5 years.
Right. I mean, we were talking about it, and I've been listening to a couple other hosts on the station talk about the move to Root or move away from Root. But I feel like for Blazers, you're going to have your diehards no matter what. They will eat through the tank. They're going to hate watch, or they'll do what you're doing right now, Dirt, where they find Donovan Klingon. Hey, we really like him. He's going to be a contributor. Oh, hey, Scoot had a really good run down the stretch. That's something positive to build off of. But where teams really make their money is on the casual fan. They make their money off my mom, my grandma. Like, you know,
How many games are they going to go to every year? How many will they watch randomly every year?
And they're not going if there's not, right now at least, they're not going if the Blazers aren't playing a big name star. If they're playing Milwaukee, you might get the casual fan to go because they want to go see Giannis. That's a bad example because Dame's there, but let's say Dame was hurt or LA comes in, they're going to go see LeBron because that's what casual fans want. But when you put the team on route, and then it becomes you have to buy the extra package to find them. And then half the time you're bumped off because the Kraken are on. So the Kraken are on the main, and then you got to go find Route 2, Electric Boogaloo. Right. And that's really hard to find because it's in the 900s. It's not even in the 700s, let alone the fact that they don't have a very good app. You can't go on Root Sports app.
It's horrendous.
You know, like on other, like Bally Sports, they have decent apps and stuff like that that you can go on and you can find your team. So they made it very difficult for the casual fan to go and find them, so the casual fan didn't. And now you have made it, or you can, you have the opportunity to make it easier for the casual fan, and that's what you're going to have to do. Because I remember when I was a kid, I didn't care about the Blazers. The Blazers were way down on my list of teams that I cared about until they drafted Brandon Roy. And I cared about Brandon Roy, kind of, because he was at UW. And I remember watching him and watching him in the Pac-10 tournament and watching him in the NCAA tournament being like, oh, I really like that player. I'm going to start trying to watch more games. And then because we had the package that got all the Blazer games, I started watching more and more as a kid. And all of a sudden, now I'm invested and I'm a fan. That's what the Blazers have to do with this new TV deal. You have to get it in a spot where a dopey, you know, fourth, fifth grade kid can easily find this game. Or someone who just moved to the city can easily find this game. Or someone who's, hey, I'm bored, it's a Wednesday night, there's a basketball game on and it's a local team, I'll throw it on. Because, you're going to tank and it's not going to be a great year this year. And you don't want it to be a great year.
No, you should win 15 games.
But if you can get casual fans to watch this team and go, wow, we lost that game, but Scoot Henderson had a double-double, and he was making crazy passes. And Donovan Klingon came in, and he was swatting balls off the Moda Center roof. And Shaedon Sharpe, when he jumped up to dunk, he hit his head on the backboard, and that's why he missed the game-winning dunk. Like, you need these things to get these casual fans in, and it finally feels like the Blazers, I don't know if I want to say that they woke up, but there's finally an opportunity now to get back on to a channel or onto an app where it's easy for fans to just go, oh, I can just click here, boom, game on.
Well, and that's where you can solve two different solutions, right? So you can have a hopefully, you know, direct-to-consumer channel that's easy for maybe some of your older fans to watch who won't quite, like, I try, whenever these kind of things come up about streaming, I always think of my parents. And if my parents had to figure out, there's a Trailblazer app on your smart TV, can you figure that out? And I think the answer for them would be no, they probably can. So if you put games on a local channel, whether it's, you know, a chunk of the season, a quarter of the season, a third of the season, or all of the season, at least there's that of like, hey, they know where that channel is. We can go watch that channel. That's a very easy solution for us. But I think the other part of it that would be great is, and you kind of touched on this, Will, you really want to make sure you grab your young fans at an early age, because that's when you cultivate lifelong fandom. That's when you create, I mean, to be honest, like consumers and customers for the rest of your life, of people who want to watch your games and go to your games and buy your gear and be a part of the organization. And that's where the streaming aspect would be a home run, because so many people now, my brother's this way. They cut the cord and they don't have YouTube TV. They don't have any cable. He tries to steal my stuff all the time and text me for passwords. And I tell him no, but they don't have a lot of time for TV. He's got three little kids. Whatever they want to watch, they usually watch on Netflix. They don't watch a lot of live sports. But if you gave them a Blazer app, all of his kids are into basketball, but they've never been able to watch Blazer games because he didn't have cable before. So they'd go to a game maybe every year, but that was about it. You're not really cultivating young Blazer fans in a family like that. But if you give them a Blazer Vision app that you can go download, and even if it's like $29.99 for the year or whatever you want to charge for people to watch games, I think they're willing to do that. And then you have the option and the availability on a smart TV to watch games. So you can really kind of thread two different needles here, which I think would be really solid for the fan base. And this is finally, I think we're just hoping for news and updates from this organization that puts the fan first. And there has not been a lot of that over the last handful of years. And this is one where it finally feels like they're doing it. I think a lot of their decision to finally do it came from the fact that so many other organizations around professional sports are going this route, and you're kind of your hands kind of forced, and including a team in the Northwest who bolted from their TV deal with Root Sports earlier this summer. When the Kraken had that announcement that they were leaving Root,
huge.
Like, that was, everybody turned their eyeballs towards the Blazers and said, wait a minute. That team's in Seattle. They don't want to be on that channel because it sucks, and most people don't get it now that it's on a higher-tiered package. And they're living, and they want to find ways to reach more fans in Seattle because hockey's a little bit more of a niche sport. It's a young organization. They're trying to generate those fans that will be around for life. And when they made that move, I think a lot of people turned their eyeballs and gazed towards the Blazers and said, you better follow suit. So I think they had a lot of market pressure in order to do this, but it doesn't really matter what forced them to do it. What mattered was that they actually did it. And I cut the cord earlier this year. It is one of the best decisions that I have ever made. Getting out of Comcast and going to YouTube TV, I am a massive fan of YouTube TV. But I was faced with the reality of I'm not going to be able to watch Blazer games this year if they don't make this this change. And so the fact that they did, I'm genuinely excited. Now we all await the news of where do they go? What channel is it? What app do we get? How much is it going to cost? What are your options? But it sounds like that is on the near horizon. Just a good happy note for Blazer fans of, hey, we finally got some positive news, man. We finally got, we can watch Blazer games again. How exciting is that? So that came out. Of course, it happened the day that we were all off. Will was here yesterday, but we were all off. And so it's great to be able to react to it today. And very excited about the Blazers no longer being on Root Sports, a long overdue move. Coming up next, let's stick in broadcasting because there was one other note that came out yesterday that I was really, I thought was really smart about how, finding a way to reach this fan base. So we'll get to that coming up next. I got some NFL notes coming up. Towards the top of the hour, maybe 6:45-ish. College football notes as well coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We are back after this, but first, here's Will with SportsCenter. Check it out, man.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, before I get to the other broadcasting news that I thought was really cool yesterday, a couple of final Blazer tidbits. Did you guys break down game by game by game by game by game by game the Blazer schedule?
Yeah, I've determined that they're going to lose. Well, I mean, when you start off New Orleans right away, I mean, those are just two big fat L's.
And Golden State, I believe, in the home opener, I think they play Golden State the first night of the year or something like that.
Will Steph Curry have a Olympics hangover that you can use for victory? That might be a win. Might start the year 1-0.
See what you did there. Don't let us get hot, Will. Don't let us get hot this year. Yeah, their schedule was announced yesterday, and the breakdown, just two tidbits that I thought were important. One is not a shocker, but the breakdown of nationally televised games for the upcoming year in the NBA, in a very surprising twist, the two teams who have the most are the Lakers and the Warriors. Never saw that coming. And the teams tied for the fewest are your Portland Trailblazers with four. The Toronto Raptors and the Detroit Pistons also only have four. I believe three of those four are NBA TV games, if I'm not mistaken. I think their only TNT game of the year is the Dame return part deux in late January. That is the only game you get on TNT this year.
When you said four, I immediately went, wow, that's pretty high.
That's not bad,
so
right?
I was like, I expected zero. I was waiting for the, like, it's been 20 years since ESPN Sunday Night Baseball has come to Seattle. Yeah,
but the Mariners went through this last weekend. on top of that, though, because we jokingly said you should lose a lot of games this year. Not jokingly, that's valid. You should lose a lot of games this year. The schedule will back you up on that factor. According to some random dude on Twitter who I've never heard of, but he has 21,000 followers, and he does analytics and strategy for basketball. So I'm going to go ahead and trust him on this, breaking down the travel factors, rest days, rest advantage, disadvantage, opponent, altitude, etc. They break down the hardest schedules in the NBA. The Blazers, of course, have to travel further than anybody. That's not new, but all the other metrics tied into that, they have the hardest schedule in the NBA this year, according to this metric. So
good.
If you're looking for another thing to be optimistic about, there's another one where you have a very challenging schedule and you should lose a lot of games this year. So there are some Blazers scheduling tidbits that I saw last night as that was fully released. We will not go game by game, win-loss, win-loss, win-loss throughout the entire 82 game.
I think that'd
game.
Be electric.
And it would be great radio. We might win. We might get moved to New York if we do that, but we're not quite there yet this morning. One other bit of local news that I want to get to, and then we'll start diving into some football stuff. This came out yesterday, and I just look like it's whenever you get good news like this and you give fans what they want, I'm always happy to report it and talk about it. I'm not the biggest college baseball guy in the world. I don't know about you, Will. It's just, you know, I watch a lot of Major League Baseball. I'm not, not the biggest. No, I'm not disrespectful to people who enjoy it and who are fans. I jokingly follow college baseball for about 3 weeks of the year when Oregon's in a conference tournament, regional slash super regional. That's when you get my
like
eyeballs.
Most people.
Outside of that, I'm not going to watch a ton. But I do know there's a fan base in the state that is incredibly passionate about their baseball program, and they follow it closely, and that is Oregon State. And they're going through this whole weird Pac-2 thing and what where are your games going to be, and we went through the football schedule and how those games will be broadcast on television. They announced as a baseball program yesterday, I thought this was really cool, that Oregon State has partnered with Portland CW and Coin.com to broadcast 18 of their games.
So smart.
About how, what would a baseball teams play? About 35-ish games? 30-something games? Is it more than that?
It's more.
More than that? Am I an idiot? Maybe I'm thinking college basketball. That sounds college basketball, right?
I think college basketball is around there. Let me pull up their
what are we at, like 50 for college baseball? So,
well, they do a lot of like four-game series.
Well, and then some of them count for conference games, some of them don't. I know Oregon State will be independent this year, so that won't impact you. So maybe I am an idiot. It's probably more than 30. But 18 at least is
45 and 16 last year.
45 and okay.
So
looking 60, at 60-ish games.
61.
60-ish games. So they're going to broadcast 18 home games, and you will be able to watch these on the CW and live on coin.com. And now you happen to be listening to a show right now with two legendary CW sports broadcasters. And I, you know, look, I'm an award-winning Winterhawks color analyst. You are an award-winning high school football analyst for CW.
Right. Yeah.
And so I do, I am a little bit biased when I say this, but I do genuinely appreciate the local push from that network and their partners at Coin to try and get more involved in the sports game. They obviously broadcast an hour of Isaac Katsouk every day, which is really cool for the radio station. They're getting more and more into local teams, Winterhawk games being on there for, you know, almost 10 years now. It feels like it's been a long run of doing those. It's been great to give fans access to local teams. They do a lot with, I think, Portland Pilots baseball and different things. So this is just kind of another feather in their cap, if you will. But having, I think if you're an Oregon State baseball fan, you've probably been wondering where is this all going to air. A lot of those games were on the Pac-12 Network in the past. That channel obviously is shut down since the conference closed up shop. So you've been looking for that option, and this is a it's a great solution, and I'm glad that a local network has stepped up to team up with a local team for a passionate fan base to give them the option to watch at least 18 of their games this year. It's really cool.
Right. Well, and they have a great crew over there that makes it pretty seamless. Like, you're going to get a professional broadcast from a local station. Like, we've all watched the local station, me specifically coming from Ellensburg, where it's like, oh my goodness, is this run by a bunch of high schoolers? That's not what's going to come out of the CW crew. And again, this is a great move on OSU's part. What was the problem with the Pac-12 network? We talked about it with Root. It was hard to find. If you didn't have Comcast, you could not watch. Or you had to get an app, and you had to do a jump through a bunch of different hoops, and people didn't want to do that. Guess what we all have? Every TV in Portland has Portland CW.
Yep.
If you don't have a TV, every bar has one. It's right there. It's a brilliant move on their part because Oregon State baseball people care about it. Get on a TV station that it's easy to find, and it's a local station, so now you're building up two brands at the same time. It's just a great move all around.
Good partnership for Oregon State and the CW, and they're going to broadcast 18 of their home games this upcoming year, so you'll be able to watch them on the CW and stream live on coin.com, so you got a streaming option in there as well. To Will's point, everybody gets a CW. We can make our jokes about the CW. Everybody gets that channel. Everybody gets that channel. And so whether your provider is, you will be able to watch Oregon State baseball games this year. Really cool for Oregon State fans. Let's get to some football stuff, shall we? I saw this idea floated out. I think it's brilliant. Do you agree? And would it help reshape kind of the postseason in college football? We'll start diving into some football notes. We got some preseason stuff to react to from last night. A starting quarterback has been named in the world of college football. So a lot of football notes to get to starting next on 1080 The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 6:48. Hope you're having a great Friday morning. Your day's off to a good start. We will go to Oklahoma State coming up in about an hour from now, a little less than an hour. We'll get a preview on the Cowboys. They're up next in the Dirty Poll. And then in the final hour of the show, we'll get a preview of Arizona as the Wildcats are up as well. We're double dipping on the Dirty Poll, so that's coming up at 7:40 and 8:30 this morning if you're interested in the previews of those two schools. We will spread the line. We'll see what Big Will Betts has in store for us this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I should look at this.
See what kind of parlays we got cooked up. You got some time. We'll get to that at 8:50. We're going to move it a little bit earlier because the guests could only go from Arizona at 8:30, so we're moving the spread in the line up to 8:15. So a little bit of a shuffle on a Friday. We will make it work. I saw this yesterday, and I actually really genuinely loved the idea. And I'm curious where fans are at on this. So I think one of the biggest things that college football has struggled with over the last however many years, and this will hopefully change this year, but time will tell. There are unintended consequences of any new change or structural change that you make with a sport. I think the biggest issue that college football has suffered from is the idea that their postseason lacks excitement and entertainment. And bowl games have largely become, for the majority of fans, irrelevant. They're on TV. People still watch. The numbers aren't terrible. But it's mainly because there's not a lot going on that time of year. People are around the house. It's holiday time. Right? You just got a random bowl game on in the background. We've all been there that week after Christmas when you're on vacation. And you're like, why am I glued to Miami versus this random school playing in a pinstripe bowl? But you're watching it because that's what we do. But that doesn't mean that the product and the intensity of their postseason lives up to the hype or gives you the excitement that you want as a sports fan. I think that a 12-team playoff, eventually turning into a 16-team playoff, will change that. But I think this is a brilliant idea coming as an offshoot of that. And so it was announced, I think Ross Dellinger was the one that originally had this report a day or two ago, where the group of five commissioners are getting together and they are having a meeting to talk about their future and the direction that they want to go. And one of the things that they're fearful of, which I genuinely hope we do not lose, but you never know how these things are going to play out, they're fighting for keeping their automatic qualifier spot into the college football playoff. Because at any moment, the SEC and Big Ten could just say, you know what, no, we don't want Liberty to be here. See you later. We don't need to give you a seat. You got somebody that goes undefeated that's ranked inside the top 12, we'll consider giving you a spot. We're going to take away your automatic qualifier spot. So they're keenly aware of that being a potential outcome in the next however many years as the sport continues to change. And their solution to it, at least one of the ideas that they're kicking around, is to have their own offshoot postseason tournament. And so instead of sending their teams to random bowl games where they're largely playing Power 5 programs who are probably not playing their guys or don't want to be there or are pissed that they didn't make it into the college football playoff, they would have their own postseason tournament. Now, I am a huge fan. I don't know about you, Will, but I imagine that you are as well. When the D3 playoffs go on and you get some of those awesome games that happen in late December on home field soil in crazy weather, I love watching that stuff. And I remember doing an interview with Bill Connolly back in January, and it feels like when you watch it, it's almost back to you're watching college football in its purest sense, where it's not money, it's not transfer portal, it's not all of these things that many fans kind of, it turns them off from the game. Mm-hmm. It's the purest sense of college football of guys who are playing for fun. Most of them will never go on to play professional careers, but they're passionate. The fans are passionate. Mm-hmm. And I love watching it. I think the group of five finding a way to piggyback off of that, turning this into a marketing opportunity where you sell it to a television network where it essentially, you would boil it down to an NIT-type tournament.
Right.
But you get a single elimination, have some home field advantages there. You give those teams and those fan bases something to play for and something to look forward to outside of a random bowl game. I think this is a win-win solution for both. And I hope that they don't lose their automatic qualifier status. If they do, then this is even more needed where they can almost crown their own champion every year with teams that they can legitimately compete against week in and week out, unlike some of the powerful teams in Power 5 conferences.
Right. Well, if you think about it, they've already kind of done that because in every other sport, there's just Division I.
Yep.
But in football, there's FBS and there's FCS. And so, you know, a lot of those smaller D1 schools have already branched off, broken away, done their own thing. And I do love watching those games and that tournament. And they truly do care, as someone who has played a couple times in the D2 version of it as well. The problem that I think you fall into is if they have the automatic qualifier, then you're kind of just playing for second place.
Your best team would not be a part of the playoff.
Right. And so that's where I wonder.
Or at least this playoff, the NIT playoff.
Yeah. Right. And so that's where I wonder if, you know, you're one of these other teams, does it really mean that much to you? Like, is this going to stop if you have a Khalil Mack type player? You know, at Fresno State, they had Devontae Adams and they had Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Would those players still look at it like you look at a bowl game and go, I'm going to be in the NFL, I'm going to opt out? Now, I think if the Power Four come in and they say, no more automatic qualifier, you guys are out of this, then yes, I completely agree. Make your own tournament, because then it is who is the best in this subset of college football teams. But when you have the automatic qualifier, it feels a little bit like playing for second place. And especially in a sport like football, you don't want to do that. There's a reason why there's no CBI for football. Football sucks. Football is one of the worst sports of all time until you play the game. It's the best thing ever to play. If you are practicing sucks. I've never wanted to quit football more than when I was a redshirt, because all I got to do was practice and get beat on, and your body's sore all the time, and your head hurts because you're in meetings all day, and people are talking to you in basically a foreign language, and you don't know what's going on. You're getting screamed at all the time. So I think it's a good backup plan, but I don't know that I would make it the main thing.
Yeah, I think to the point of it being a second place award, I don't disagree with that at all. I think the counter argument would be, what would you be more interested in as a fan of that level? Would you be more interested if you were a fan of, let's use, I don't know, Liberty as an example, okay?
Yep.
Would you rather, because in this format, example, probably a bad example. It's not true. Let's choose like Appalachian State.
Okay.
You would not be getting a bid if you have a great year to a New Year's Six bowl game, and you're obviously not in the college football playoffs.
Right.
So let's say you're just a good team that would be like a 5 seed in this tournament. Would you rather go play in the Pop-Tart Bowl against Western Kentucky and that's the end of your season?
Yeah.
Or would you rather have something to play for? Like somebody texted in, why would anybody care about a group of five postseason tournament? I mean, sure, you could say that. People watch the FCS every single year.
People watch the D2.
They do.
I do. I watch it every year. I care.
Like, you might not care, and I totally understand that. It's not your cup of tea. I watch a lot of the FCS tournament every year. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who Montana played, but they had a home game in like the semifinals last year where it was snowing.
North Dakota State.
It was this crazy back and forth game and like 2-point conversions, and I was glued to it. I had a ton of fun watching it. Now, again, you're not going to reach the same level of audience as you will with a Power Four,
right?
You know, 12-team playoff that's on ABC and CBS, and like, of course, you're not going to reach that level of number. It's about, I think, for the group of five, it's about finding a way to stay relevant and finding a way to stay on the forefront of people's minds. Because when you read through this Dellinger piece, a lot of them are raising the same concern. Mike Oresko, who's the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, flat out said, like, they could change the format of the 12-team playoff at any time.
Yeah.
They have left it wide open. I don't know what's going to happen. It's all up in the air after the 2025 playoff. And so I think these schools and conferences are genuinely fearful of, what if we are left out and we don't have a guaranteed spot into the future playoffs? Sprague has been preaching this for a long time. I always push back against it, but we know that money and greed wins out on this. And if the SEC and Big Ten want to push their elbows out in the room, they can find a way to boot the automatic qualifier for the group of five and say, hey, if you want to get an at-large bid, you're 12-0, maybe we'll give you a spot, but you're not getting a guaranteed spot in this playoff. And I think that's part of this right. thought process of, if we lose that, especially, we need to have something on our own that's not just going and playing in the L.A. Bowl against Utah State that's going to be watched by 400,000 people. We need something that's marketable, something that we can sell to television to make ourselves a little bit more money.
It's almost like you need it there as like your break glass in case of emergency.
Yes,
like this
yes.
is what we have.
Right.
My personal opinion on it is like, if they have this here, because you know what's going to happen? The group of five team, if they go 0-3 in the first three college football playoffs, they lose, one and done. Boom,
out. Which is likely going to happen.
then Big Ten, SEC, they're going to start stretching their elbows out because someone's going to get left out that shouldn't get left out. A Michigan, an Alabama,
an LSU,
right? And they're going to have a bunch of close losses where they barely lose to Georgia, they barely lose to LSU, they barely lose to Tennessee, and everyone says, well, if you know one fumble goes this way, one goes that way. It's FSU this year.
Could have easily been in.
FSU, right? And so then you have this plan set in place, and there's a time and place to really jump and take advantage of this, because if you're these group of five teams, they don't play the college football playoff until what, middle of December, end of December?
I think it starts the second week. Yeah, you start about 2 weeks after conference title game, so like December 10th, I think, is the first round of the playoffs.
So maybe not as much time as I had previously thought, but you do have this avenue in this time frame where you can be the only games on TV.
Right.
Or you're competing with the FCS, the D2s, the D3s. Guess what? You're probably going to beat those teams. There's a reason why the FCS playoffs are when they are. It's because there's no one else playing during that time, and then you start paying attention. It's why I originally fell in love with Montana and Eastern Washington. I was like, yeah, I want to go play for those schools because I knew I wasn't going to be a Pac-12 kid. I wasn't big enough for that, but I could be a Montana kid. I could be a Eastern Washington kid. And so it actually ends up helping out in recruiting as well. You know, if you're a Memphis and you've got cool jerseys and you're always playing and you're the marquee ESPN game, you're always in this championship, there are going to be middle school kids, high school kids that care about it, right? Or at least go, hey, that's a cool place. If I can't go to my dream school,
that's a good backup plan.
Yeah. So I love the idea, but I think it's too early to implement it because, again, like I said, you're playing for second place, and then it doesn't really mean anything.
That's totally fair, and we'll see how this all shakes out. I think they're fearful of the direction of the playoff and maybe not having a seat at that table and trying to come up with something on their own. And I totally grant you that this isn't going to be for everybody, and the ratings will not compare to Michigan versus Georgia.
It's not going
to come anywhere close. We all acknowledge that. It's just about they're desperately trying to find their footing in a landscape where they're appearingly being left behind. And so I'm always for people who are trying to think ahead of the curve and how do we stay ahead of this and what's it going to look like and all of that. And that's what the group of five commissioners are doing right now. Would you be interested in watching a play if they had a simultaneous playoff, or maybe it's, you know, different days of the week where they're playing on like Tuesdays and Wednesdays? Would you be interested? Would you want to watch? Exactly. The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. I got some other football stuff to kick off the second hour with. We do need to at some point get to Will Orton or Seattle Mariners because things are going well right now in Seattle. We will continue the Dirty Pool coming up at 740. Loaded second hour back after this on 1080 The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.